so forth. I'd like to show you one piece, and while we're making this transition, some of you are still producing, but most of you are in post-production now. So to kind of like finalize that transition, I'd like to show you a piece that I did on the nursing shortage in the United States. And the background of this piece is all about, you know, how you tell stories, how you convey information, how you go out there and identify characters that can be these little vehicles that take you from one end of a story to another, and that can carry that information for you, okay? I was contacted by one of the producers, the same producer to whom I sent the proposal that I gave you guys about this Echoes of War piece that I did in Nicaragua. He contacted me a couple of years ago and said, look, man, a producer was working on a story about the nursing shortage in the United States. She was pulled onto another assignment. You want to produce this piece? And I said, fine. It was all about the nursing shortage. They had access to the Presbyterian Hospital System in New York City. So over the period of about 6 weeks, I would go up to New York a couple of times a week, work with a couple of assistants to tell the story of the nursing shortage in the United States. We started out with a pile of documents that had, you know, newspaper articles, government studies, independent studies by academics, you know, all kinds of stuff, a couple of documentaries about the nursing shortage in the United States. My job was to go up, produce, figure out how we're going to tell the story. You know, the PR people, these hospitals took us into the heart transplant, the liver transplant, the cancer, you know, area of the hospital. You know, we had complete access, although there was always a PR person with us. We had complete access. So my job was to figure out, okay, how are we going to tell this stuff? Are we just going to get one guy to talk to us for half an hour? Can't do that. You know, where are we going to find these characters through which we can tell these stories? So the key is to marry, you know, nurses and people who want to be nurses and so forth with patients, because, you know, this relationship between nurses and patients really, really has a significant influence and impact on how people get better or don't get better when they're in hospital. If there's a good relationship with good nurses, then, you know, you're going to get out quicker and better at the end of your whatever it is you're in the hospital for. Okay, so that's what I had to do, and you'll see how I use characters here to carry this information, to symbolize, to embody the editorial points that I wanted to make from on the basis of all these documents that I had here. Okay, I knew I had to make certain editorial points, so who do I get to tell this stuff? Okay, so let's watch this thing, and we'll stop as I typically do as we go along the way, and then I'll hand this thing over to Bruce, and then we'll get back to the task of editing and script writing and so forth. Okay.
It was a UN Secretary General who once said, "Constant attention by a good nurse may be just as important as a major operation by a surgeon." But attention from a nurse is getting harder to come by, part of the healthcare mess that's not getting much coverage ahead of the election. America is running 100,000 nurses short, and it's set to get a lot worse. A situation, according to statistics, that affects your chances of getting out of the hospital alive. Come with me inside a busy hospital and watch nursing problems and some nursing solutions play out. Bill Gentile produced our report. Don't get lost in this web of medical gear. It is keeping this terribly injured young woman alive. But it's all just tubes and wires without the nurse by the bedside.
Hi. Do you know my name? I'm Mary Grace. We've met a few times, but very briefly, and you met a lot of new people. So I'm not going to hold you to that. Can you lift up your arms for me? What do you think? Get him up.
Mary Grace Savage is a veteran nurse at New York's biggest hospital, the New York Presbyterian Hospital System. She's been here for 31 years.
Am I touching you, Nancy?
In this neurological intensive care bed is 25-year-old Nicole Marquez, a dancer and actress who moved to New York from Mississippi to follow a dream of someday performing on Broadway. This is Nicole before the accident that put her here. She's in the hospital because of a terrible fall. Locked out of her apartment, she apparently tried to climb down to an open window from the rooftop. She fell 5 stories behind the building and was not found until the next day. Nicole broke her neck, broke her back, pelvis, ribs, punctured a lung.
Any squeeze?
Mary Grace and a team of nurses are working to help Nicole get back on her feet.
That's all her new mechanical pieces in there. See all that stuff? Her screws and wires and ankles.
Do I have your attention? I have your attention? I'm not giving you a hell of a lot of information here. You know, I'm telling you a story about this girl who fell. That's it. You're hooked. I got you, I think. It took a little while. We're into this piece a little bit, but you're there, I think. Are you going to go away? Probably not. Okay? So the question, we go back to this issue of the conversation with audience, right? And the question that I'm asking the audience now that's going to keep you in front of the piece is what? What's the question? We know what the controlling idea is. The controlling idea is this whole the relationship between nursing care and the outcome of people who are in the hospital, right? But what's the question that I'm asking?
How's this nurse going to save this woman?
Okay. Okay. Is she going to live in the first place? Is she going to walk? You know, is she going to dance again? She's a dancer. So this is the conversation that I'm talking about. If you can pose a question like this, and if you can hook someone in emotionally, you're probably not connected yet intellectually, but emotionally, I think I got you. When I walked in, this was like at the end of the filming period, when I walked into the hospital room and they told us about this girl who had fallen, I looked at the scene for about 10 seconds and I go, this is it. This is it. Because I had already met the nurse, and when they told us about this story, this young girl, this dancer, falls 5 stories. And it took, you know, she was found the following morning by a maintenance guy. She was laying behind a dumpster. You know, I said, this is it. This is it. So, going back to our exercise yesterday, remember the whole thing with dramatic arcs? We drew like, you know, with the piece from Burundi, right? We had this big dramatic, remember? Studio Jumbo with Brian Rich, right? So when do we answer the question in terms of the outcome of this girl? When do I tell the audience, okay, this is what happened?
The end.
When?
Yeah, I hope the end. I mean.
Got to tell them somewhere.
Yeah.
So should I put it at the end?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Well, it depends. What is the story? Is the story about how these, you may want it earlier.
I do it intermittently to keep them hooked on the cocaine here. If you give it to them now, they'll change the channel.
Yes. This could be one of the journeys.
Could be one of the journeys.
Yeah. One of the characters.
Let's see how this plays out then. Don't forget, now, I've got this pile
and
of documents.
How long is it?
It's 30 minutes long. Actually, the piece itself is 23 minutes.
Okay.
So I've got this pile of documents here. I know that I have to explain why there's a nursing shortage. I have to show people why there's a nursing shortage. Why can't we provide enough nurses? How does this relationship work with the patients and so forth? I know that nurses quit. I have to come up with a nurse who quit at some point. You know, all of this stuff. So there are different dramatic arcs in here. Let's see how it plays out.
Framework supporting all the things that had burst.
Here you go. Hands up here.
Doctors visit Nicole daily, and doctors did the surgery to reassemble her broken body. Popular culture often depicts the work of doctors heroically. What is too often overlooked, however, is the essential role of nurses, who in the case of Nicole Marquez, care for their patient constantly, and by constantly we mean constantly, monitoring, managing, responding day and night.
You strike me as someone who doesn't hesitate at all, that if you saw something that didn't make sense on a chart, or if you heard something that conflicted with something else you know about the patient, you'd probably say something about it, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and yeah. But it's something that has to be encouraged.
That's my job, yeah.
You see that as your job.
Yeah, absolutely.
An hour and a half?
That's fine.
How's that sound?
It's nurses who keep the communication flowing with Nicole's family and friends. With Nicole, they patiently run through the alphabet to figure out what she wants to say.
B, C, D. D. Okay. Dad? Daddy? Okay. You want Daddy to come? Oh, sure. I'll get Dad. She wants Daddy to come.
Dad.
Hey, hey, hey. How you doing? Okay.
There we go.
Nurses are the engine inside hospitals everywhere. Nothing moves without them.
When you guys start to write your scripts today, you know, I want you to write to pictures. I want you to lay down a picture story on the timeline, okay? We make picture stories, imagery. And when you write your script, I want you to write to those pictures, explain what's happening. When I say, you know, this is not a coincidence, you know, nurses are the engine inside everything, Hospitals everywhere, nothing moves without them. We see nurses pushing something.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm writing to what you're seeing so that I emphasize that. You don't catch this stuff when you just watch it because you're most of the time people are their attention is deflected by what they're seeing here. They don't understand the structure behind there. But now you guys are beginning to understand how the drawing is put together here, how this stuff works, okay? So I want you to do the same thing with your pieces.
Too bad there aren't enough Mary Graces.
Something hurts? Which part hurts?
America's troubled healthcare system is currently running about 100,000 nurses short. This shortage is on track to get much worse as the population gets older and sicker. A U.S. government study says that within a dozen years, the national shortage could increase to more than 1 million. There are some fascinating reasons for this and some interesting proposed routes out of the crisis. It is literally and precisely a matter of life and death.
Doing okay?
Yeah.
A study in the Journal of the American Medical Association found that the more patients there are per nurse, the greater the risk that patients will die. Other studies have underscored the connection between nursing quality and how well patients do.
You see what's happening now? You know, we've got this dramatic arc here, and you know, we've got Nicole here, right? And we wrap her into our controlling idea, the quality of nursing care determines determines the outcome. And while we're waiting to show her climax wherever it is, we're wrapping this information, all the stuff that we pull out of these documents here, all the data, now I can write it into the script because I have your attention. And what I'm using Nicole as a little vehicle to take you from here to there. You're listening to this stuff because you're waiting to see what the outcome of her case is. It's a trick. It's a magic trick. That's what we're doing. Okay?
If there's all...
When I saw... one of the things that we had to explain was why nurses burn out so quickly. The numbers are incredible. It's like 25% of nurses who leave nursing school leave... bedside practice, I think, in the first year, something like that, because it's so intense, you know. So I had to show, you know, again, drawing from these documents, I had to show the intensity of this work, what they do. So as we're roaming around these hospitals, you know, I see Megan Stack and I go, she's it, I got it, here she is. So watch this. This is also an illustration of how you can use these little cameras to paint with. You know what I mean? You've seen, I think, what close-ups do. You can see, you know, Mary Grace, the nurse, really close. You see her through all the wires and stuff. You see the gauges really close. Kind of looks like the piece from Burundi, doesn't it, with the dials and the lights and so forth. But watch how you can move a camera to illustrate, to complement what you're saying about you know, this high-speed, high-intensity career called nursing.
There's all this demand. How come not enough nurses? Well, first of all, it's clearly not a career for the faint of heart.
Where'd Gabe go?
Ask Megan Stack, a kidney transplant nurse at New York Presbyterian. The patients Megan sees are part of a growing population of acutely ill older people who often show up at the hospital with multiple problems.
I've been a nurse here for about 2 years. I work with renal patients, so I do renal failure, I do renal transplant, and I do dialysis.
As you watch her in action, you can see Megan has a job that requires stamina and the ability to think, quite literally, on her quick-moving feet.
23A is going for renal ultrasound. They're calling.
One of her patients may be having a heart attack, and it's up to her to formulate a rapid response. It is not just about fetching supplies. Nurses do a lot of what many of us think that only doctors do.
She had a cardiac event, so I can't let her go off the unit. Thanks. Home? No. No one's going home today.
Stack says she is managing the strain, but for how long?
Unfortunately, the clean supply is a nice place to take a deep breath when you're feeling a little overwhelmed, which I am, and you look for things that seem to always be moving. I think that's everybody everywhere, though. And it's not here, but I got a deep breath, so...
Did you see when she's standing there, and I'm kind of close on her, she's out of focus, and the background was in focus, the blue stuff in the background. I noticed that because I wasn't using the LCD screen. right? The LED screen, the LCD screen, right? I'm using the eyepiece, and I see, oh, she's out of focus. So I open up a little bit, I zoom out a little bit, and the camera goes, oh, I got it. Okay, it's her. Do you want me to focus on? If I was using the screen, I wouldn't be able to see that because it's not defined enough. Okay, so now we're going to shift gears now. Almost at the end of this production period, you know, my producers in New York kept saying, okay, you're talking about these people who leave bedside care. Where are they? Why don't you interview a nurse? So we kept nailing the, you know, trying to get this out of the PR people. Okay, we got to talk to the nurse who's left. Well, we don't keep in touch with them. You know, they go away. We lost their phone numbers, all this stuff. It's bad PR. You know, so I call up my niece, who was an emergency care nurse in Pittsburgh, just outside of Pittsburgh. I go, Teresa, I'm in a jam here. I got to talk to somebody, a nurse who quit. She goes, oh, my friend so-and-so, you know, she just quit 2 weeks ago, you know, because she was fed up with it. Why don't you come and talk to her? So, boom, pile of stuff in a car and drive, get on the Pennsylvania Turnpike, drive, you know. And I go and meet this woman, and this is how it turned out. There's a visual and there's a thematic transition here, and I know that I have to make this transition. So I'm going to use the camera to try to do that. So you'll see, watch how the camera tells you we're going somewhere else.
For how long?
Unfortunately, the clean supply is a nice place to take a deep breath when you're feeling a little overwhelmed, which I am, and you look for things that seem to always be moving. I think that's everybody everywhere, though. And it's not here, but I got a deep breath, so.
Across the country, a lot of nurses find that continuing strain.
Across the country, so I move across the windshield and we see country, okay? The pace changes, the content, everything changes now, okay? And the use of the camera changes too.
People in terrible crisis came through. Working in the ER is one of nursing's toughest assignments, and over the years, she's dealt with a lot of abuse from patients who are not at their best when they come in.
Scratched, slapped, punched, spit at, called every name in the book, names I didn't know what it was. You know, so that's, you just get tired of it.
But it was the life and death issues that got to Renee, watching too many people die. One night, a young woman was brought in from a car wreck.
It was a very, very bad 3 a.m. Trauma arrest. And I had already worked there for 12 hours. I stayed to help my coworkers work this arrest. It was a young lady. And we worked on her for 2 hours. And she did not make it. So I came home and, you know, it was just a very, she was younger than me. And, you know, just feel like the sense of loss and just senseless death. And I thought, you know, I'm very sensitive. I just thought, I don't want to see this anymore. You know, I just really don't want to see all that anymore. So I needed to make a change.
She ended up taking a job with a major insurance company and will now offer medical advice to patients over the phone. There are tens of thousands of nurses like Renee who will cut short their careers in active care. Even more are scheduled to retire in the next decade. So the challenge for hospitals is to keep nurses from leaving and to bring new nurses into the bedside.
My first job, my very first job as a registered nurse, I think I cried every other night, and that was a long time ago. How
much? It's Willie Manzano's ultimate responsibility to recruit between 60 and 70 new nurses every single month. For the past 4 years, she's been senior vice president and chief nursing officer at New York Presbyterian Hospital.
Well, we've done a lot in terms of recruitment activities. So we have put together internship programs that really bring in nurses into the institution, and we provide them with 6 months to 1 year internship programs in critical care.
Unlike doctors, nurses don't often get internships.
I'm going to go through some of this stuff so we can make it through some of this heavy-duty stuff that, you know, we have to include here, because it's part of the story. So Willie Manzano, we interview her. David Brancaccio comes in at strategic places and talks to some of these folks. And we use his conversation with them to draw out this information. Again, you know, you're still hooked, I think, you know, because we saw Megan Stack And we still haven't given you the answer to the main question here, which is what?
Whether this woman is going to live or die.
Nicole. We're still waiting to find the answer from Nicole. So we're going to stick with, we're hearing all these percentages and all this data. Okay, we want to know about Nicole, right? I'm not going to tell you yet because I want to. I'm still dumping information at you, okay? You know, strategically. So we'll get through this stuff. You know, we had to go to these nursing meetings. We had to, you know, I'll kill the sound. We'll just run through this a little bit. So this is an interesting shot. Remember we talked about 20 second minimum of these shots. So I'm shooting these girls, you know, and I'm lining them up and I'm trying to get compelling angles with the camera. And I shoot this line of girls here. And what happens? At some point, this girl turns over. And when she does that, guess what? It's a cutting point. We can move on. But I was probably shooting her for 15 seconds and then she turns her head, right? So I don't use the 14 seconds previous. I pick it up right before she turns her head. She turns her head. And that's a signal we can go somewhere else. That's why these things move, because they move. I'm not moving the camera around, but the people inside of the shots move. So this is, you know, I'm downloading information on you. Ah, so we get to these guys. We knew that we had to talk about new girls and, you know, this whole phenomenon of nurses quitting in the first year of after they go to school because they burn out, because like Megan Stack, it's a really intense job. So we were fortunate enough to find these two girls. Well, listen, here it goes.
A year.
I need to get this label.
Allison LeBlanc from Massachusetts and Joni Welsh from Missouri are both fresh out of nursing school. We met them on the first day of their year-long residency at New York Presbyterian's burn unit.
I'm documenting that he did it himself.
It's nurses like these that Willie Manzano is working so hard to recruit and to retain.
I was stressing over nothing.
Yes, you were.
Yeah.
Today, Joni is working with Patrick Bork, a more experienced nurse on the unit.
We're going to change his dressings on his burn on his right lower extremity.
Andreas Krenmeyer burned his leg on a motorcycle exhaust pipe.
Then we're going to wrap it in
Curlex,
and then
cover it with
we're going to secure it with this type of dress and spandage.
This is called spandage. Okay. Some of the other hospitals that I looked at did not have the critical care.
Can you find anybody who looks more fresh and new than her?
Yeah.
Huh? I mean, she just came out of the package. You know? It's like I saw these two girls walking down the hall and I go, oh. And it was their first day. You know, so this is, look at this. This is it, you know? So,
and you almost know what's going to happen to her at the end.
Yeah, well, God knows, you know?
You could run a time lapse.
Yeah.
Gross feet, wrinkles, right. Worry.
Because we've seen the other woman. Yeah. We know that that's totally going to happen to her. And it's
Her hair's nicely as opposed to the other way. Hold back in a ponytail and let me just get out of here.
Yeah, I mean, it's like these guys came out of Central Casting in Los Angeles or something, you know? It really worked wonderfully. We were just fortunate, you know?
That I was given and the extensive orientation. So that gives you a huge amount of time to really gain those skills that you didn't have a chance to in your nursing school. So that's huge for any new grad. Actually, a lot of new grads look at the orientation program more than they look at salary and benefits and things like that.
Nurses wear masks and gowns to protect patients from deadly infection. Joni and Allison are the beneficiaries of a system in which more experienced nurses guide and orient them on and off the floor through their residency.
Okay. Nice work.
Today, Allison is working with Shelley Ann Mathieu, a veteran nurse who's been working in the burn unit for 18 years.
I have all your meds. Do you want to take this?
Their patient is 19-year-old William Calderon. At work in a restaurant, Calderon dropped hot grease on his feet. He's just had a skin graft, and a team of nurses wraps his feet to protect them.
You need to keep that graft straight. Keep your foot straight, because even though you think you're keeping your foot straight, you know when we go to sleep, we don't know what we do.
It's very important that you have this immobilized for 5 days, so the graft will take in good position while your foot is in good position.
It's part of Allison's continuing on-the-job education.
The curl like stretches and allows him to move, like when we wrap up burn dressings like that, to still allow him to do physical therapy and move. And this, it cannot move. So when they wrap that up, it just really immobilizes. Basically used for splints and stuff like that.
Frank Costello is a nurse who's been working in the burn unit for over 20 years. He's a senior nurse, and one of the reasons that new and veteran nurses stay. He teaches inside and outside the classroom to keep nurses apace with developments in the field. He's part of the hospital's effort to retain nurses at every stage of their careers.
So with those numbers, with respect to the low cardiac output, you would deem that shock to be what? Hypovolemic.
Remember Megan Stack from kidney transplant?
You guys remember Megan Stack from kidney transplant?
Can we give her some coffee?
No, give her a six-month vacation. She can use it.
She's cooked.
You know, I mean, she is. I mean, you know, so you can see what's happening to her, you know, as a result of this stuff, you know. But my point is here, we're constantly, I refer once to Willy Manzano, the vice president of the place, because I want you to remember these characters. So I'm trying to link, you know, I'm saying, remember her? I'm pointing to her, I'm saying, remember Megan Stack? Because if I don't tell you this in the narration that I write, you probably won't recognize her, right? But you can see what it's doing to her now. But I have to point that out, right? So you use narration to develop characters, to build things up, to say, you know, this is going to happen, to build tension, to explain things. So that's what I'm trying to do this fairly continuously through the piece.
Ian Frank are from different hospital units, but she's here to
benefit from his knowledge and expertise.
So Joni's one of our new nurses, okay, and she just finished her critical care and her.
In the tank room, Frank works with Joni to wash a patient's burned foot.
I find it most enjoyable to be at the bedside to teach, to go over things. And sometimes you teach by not even speaking, you teach by doing, you know, and I think you try to be for them somewhat of a role model that they want to also continue in the profession and be the best they can. Now take another Adaptic. Take a sort of a...
Okay.
Yeah, one of these. I think there's two of them in there, okay? And you're going to make mistakes, and but you're going to learn from them. And so every day I always tell them, look back 2 weeks ago where you were and look where you are now. And in 2 weeks ahead, you're going to find that you've progressed more. And then eventually, you'll get to a point where you feel somewhat comfortable, but then don't ever become comfortable.
You guys ever stop being nurses?
Do we? No, because I always talk about my days,
like, I know.
With everyone, and you don't stop. Like, as of right now, I'm always thinking about, like, did I miss something?
Yeah.
Did I do something wrong?
Even when we're on the unit, because we are new grads, we're constantly doing something because we're not as efficient as somebody that's been here, say, 20
like
years.
Andrew.
Retaining nurses like Joni and Allison is critical. About 25% of new nurses in the U.S. drop out in the first year. Willy Manzano says mentoring and special classes have dramatically cut the dropout rate at New York Presbyterian and reduced it well below the national average. And where does nursing pay fit into all of this?
You know, I'd be the first one to argue, let's pay them great amounts of money. At the end of the day, that's not what's going to keep them here. It's really structures, systems, and support that we put in place to make the nurses feel that this is where they belong and where they can feel fulfilled, both personally and professionally.
I'm going to run through some of this stuff a little quicker so we can move on. Willy Manzano also apparently is a wildly successful lead singer of a rock band in New York. So she's quite diverse and diversified. This woman is a researcher at university in Pennsylvania, and David Brancaccio interviewed her because she's done a lot of studies on why nurses drop out and what's happening to the nursing profession and how to keep nurses in hospitals and so forth. And this is, you know, we're just using this information, this visual information here, to include some of the statistics, the data that we need to include in the piece that came from that original pile of documents that I got at the beginning of this job. You know, these formats vary all over the place. We still haven't answered the main question that you're still watching this program for, but that'll happen. We have to answer that because we'll have an audience that's very, very... This actually, we did this piece during the presidential campaign of 2008, and of course, healthcare was a big part of that, a big part of the discussion by the now president and John McCain. Okay, here's the payoff. It's coming up, okay? Here's what you guys were waiting for.
Nicole Marquez,
there was a mistake here by the editor. I want you to listen to the mistake. And you tell me what it is, okay? There's something that the editor could have done that he didn't do that I think that would have taken us into this room back with Nicole a lot quicker, a lot more efficiently. Watch this and listen.
It's not a cost.
Nicole Marquez, the dancer.
Did you see it?
I would have let her talk.
Who? Nicole?
She's talking. Why can't we hear her talking?
Well, she can barely talk.
Okay.
But it's an editing point. It's an editing point that I'm trying to make. Listen to this. Listen.
There's a drop. There's nothing there for a couple seconds.
No, not really. Listen.
And so to me, it's not a cost.
We already know what this sound was because we've been in this room before, okay? So we know what this is all about. We know it's Nicole's room because we heard it the first time we were here. Now, if the editor was really thinking, and I should have caught this, but I didn't. The editor should have, at the end of when Willie Manzano says something.
It started the sound there.
He should have started the sound there. So the sound would have taken us quickly into the room where she is, right? And that's these tiny things is what keeps these pieces moving. Mm-hmm. It was
so
a signal.
Cut or an L cut? Or
a J cut.
When the audio comes in.
What do you call it? Yeah. Is it a J cut or an L cut, Sarah? Come on, you know this stuff better than I do.
Because you can do it the other way and lead with pictures, you know, and then you're still hearing the audio from the scenes before. Right?
Yeah. Anyway, small things like that pile up, they add up, and that's
what... I guess it would be a J-cut.
Be a J-cut?
I guess.
Okay.
Patients every single day. And so to me, it's not a cost.
Nicole Marquez, the dancer, now has been hospitalized for nearly a month.
You hear that? Nicole Marquez, the dancer. We got to tell you once again because it's been 20 minutes since you saw this, man. Mm-hmm. You know, we got to remind you.
Yeah.
And she looks different because she doesn't have the tape on herself.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know.
Those pictures of her dancing were extraordinary. So extraordinary.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think one of the things that
definitely.
They just sank in, and you're just waiting for this beautiful woman.
Yeah.
Somehow
one of the things that really helped us is the fact that this woman's, the girl's mother was there all the time, and the mother is a freelance writer. Mm-hmm. So she gets all of this stuff. We asked, do you have any pictures of your daughter before the accident? Oh, we have film, we have this and we have that. Boom, boom, yeah, here it is. Yeah.
She and her family, that's her mom there, understand the powerful connection between her nurses, her care, and her outcome. The breathing equipment has been removed from her mouth, and Nicole can now speak.
You said my name. It is, isn't it though? Let's get this tucked in. Okay. Uh-huh. You have to breathe to talk.
Nicole is great.
I love you, Mom. Wow. I never knew how. That would sound.
Wow is right.
Wow is right.
Nicole's mom has been at her side day and night for weeks.
So Susan, this is a big hospital in the big city.
Right.
It could be very impersonal. I mean, you could be, I don't know what her patient number is.
Could be.
You
could be. It's not.
It's not your experience?
Not at all. Not at all.
To what extent would you say the nursing staff here have been integral in making it not impersonal?
That is the key component. Absolutely. The nurses have been spectacular. From the night we first got here, and it was the fear of the unknown for us, we didn't know her condition. We're in a strange place. We're in a strange city. Right off the bat, the nurse is the one who was right there with us, walking us through everything.
You've gotten to know them.
Oh. Gotten to love them. We love them.
For the first time since the accident, Nicole can sit up, and her doctors have told her that she's well enough to make the trip to a rehab center back home.
All right, now up 12.
up tall.
We have to stay in touch with everybody because they're our new family.
Oh, and I'm
they're taking care of us.
Yes. I'm going to miss you so much.
I'm going to miss you too.
Take care.
Thank you.
Oh, so Nurse Mary Grace is off, so she's missing the big event.
We'll miss you here, but we're looking forward to you coming back in a year, right? That's right. We're coming back to party. Party time when you come back.
The day after doctors told her that she could leave, Nicole returned with family and friends to Mississippi, where, fingers crossed, there will be no shortage of fine nurses to continue her care.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
There's more to explore about healthcare and nursing. Read the personal journal of Joni Welsh, one of the young nurses in the burn unit we just met.
So they really got a lot of mileage out of this piece. This is actually voted, I don't know how they do the voting, but it was the most popular piece that, now on PBS broadcast in 2008, I guess it was. So they were very happy with the piece. Go ahead, sir, any questions?
You have a second one up that continues that story. That was done.
What they did is they did a sequel to this thing when, in fact, she came back the next year walking into the place.
Yeah, I could hear that sequel building up. It was like, stay tuned for the next show.
Yeah.
Because the other version I watched, you think this is all you're going to get, and then there's this beautiful payoff at the end.
Well, you know what? I don't think you can see this on the web anymore. I think they took this down and put...
Yeah, you only get the second one which gets you close, and then you think you're not going to get the rest of that story, and then it's like this sort of awesome...
Right.
I thought it was interesting, too, how they connect. They knew that you connected. They knew that you were connected because I noticed, send Nicole a personal message. I was like, whoa!
Yeah.
The
she has a website up. Yeah. She's got all her stuff up, you know, her story. She does speaking engagements now, you know, all this stuff. Mm-hmm. Any questions about how, we took another look at the structure behind the screen. Mm-hmm. Nicole's powerful. The stories are great. The characters are wonderful. But, you know, what I want you guys to take away is how this thing is built, how we built this thing. You know, we started this, you know, Nicole here, wrapped all this information around this Durannock arc, had a couple of other people here, and boom, here's Nicole here, full, we're out.
And you're glad you stayed, because it was a very dramatic to hear her say that.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, I felt myself tearing up on anything else, but I was like, oh my gosh, that was great.
Yeah.
Audio.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you're shooting for it too, like when she says, I love you.
That
was a wide shot. Yeah, it wouldn't have been nearly the same.
Right. The close-ups were really what brought the thing home, I think. You know, the gear, the machines,
the eyes,
the eyes, all that stuff.
Yeah.